Now on Mitchell's Front Page, talking freely with Stephanie Asher.
And good morning, Steph. How are you?
Very well, thanks, Mitchell. And yourself?
Yes, very good. It's good to see you on this stormy Monday morning. Well, not stormy, rainy.
Drizzly.
Yeah, it's actually not that bad out there. It looks pretty bad from sitting here, a bit overcast. But
yeah, it's warm as well, which is quite nice.
Yeah. But the Avalon Airport thing flared up again last week with that front cover of the advertiser. What do you think? Anything further to add?
No, look, I agree with you. I think that, if anything, the government should support the airport with the plans to host international airlines. And I think you're quite right. I think it's a federal issue. And Jetstar's just not investing in success at Avalon, and I think that's quite a disrespectful action to the Geelong people.
Yeah, but I think if you're going to give money, rather than giving it to Jetstar that's based out of Sydney or something, why not give it to the local region?
Yeah.
Where it's going to go to all local jobs and all that sort of thing.
Indeed.
But the federal government's been talking about making it an international airport for such a long time now, and Sarah Henderson's been blaming Richard Marles and vice versa. I mean, what do we take out of that? Where are we actually at with that?
I'm not sure. I'd need to have a chat with Justin Giddings again. I do touch base every now and then to find out where they're at. I know it's still an aspiration, but there's a lot to be considered. You know, there are all the customs issues and immigration issues that need to be set up as well. But I agree, certainly, that the airport is a really great place to travel from and to. I have no problem with Avalon. I love it. And the idea of it being a budget airline, Jetstar flying out of there, I think people mix Jetstar and Avalon together too much, because I think the aspiration of Avalon is to make flying easy. I mean, that's their tagline, flying made easy. And I certainly find it very easy. It's easy to park. It's easy to drive there and back. It's terrific.
Well, as I said last week, there was that real shift from perhaps where it had been in the past, where you got waved on. Whereas when I went to pick up someone last time, you could park out the front. There weren't any issues. 45 minutes free parking, which is just great, because I actually like to go into the terminal building when I pick or drop people off. So I think that was fantastic, and that is what makes it a pleasure to fly from. I wish they'd done some of those things earlier, but good to see them heading in the right direction.
Yeah, absolutely agree.
Now, also work cover, I don't know if you had any thoughts about that, but should subcontractors get work cover, or should we make them get their own insurance?
Look, I think first up, absolutely terrible situation for the family. I mean, that's the hardest way imaginable, isn't it, really, to learn the responsibilities of running a business.
And a young family as well,
absolutely.
And just getting things together. So very tragic.
Yeah, tragic, totally. And I think getting your ducks in a row is something that all small business owners and self-employed people need to do and need to focus on. And I know from my experience, it can be tricky to make the time. You know, you're too busy doing the work sometimes to think about the administration or put it into the right context. And then, you know, where do you start? I've got someone local that I use for this sort of thing, give principal focus a little plug there. They're fabulous. But I think, yeah, just making sure that we do take responsibility for the things that we need to do. And so I think to place it all on work cover is a bit harsh.
Yeah, I think so. But some of the abuse that was hurled at them on social media, I couldn't believe it.
Yeah, well, there is something going on at work cover, isn't there, too? I mean, there's some politics involved there, clearly.
Yeah, which we may not be able to say on air. Anyway, yeah, so it's very important. So I think the message is, if you want to get into business, maybe see the experts about insurance and
that's
that type
right.
of thing.
Yeah, and understand your obligations and flick onto the work cover website, and Vicky's probably got information, and, you know, there's always local council has information about small business and self-employed obligations too.
Because if you're not on a building site, which is quite dangerous work, relatively speaking, but if you're just behind a desk, there's also professional indemnity insurance and those sorts of considerations, isn't there?
Absolutely. Public liability, professional indemnity, income protection. I mean, I have, I think it's in the realm of about $10,000 worth of insurance that I pay annually. So, yeah. Yeah, you need to do it.
That gets you thinking, doesn't it? And this random attack in Doncaster, I'm sure you would have quite a few things to say about it, and I'm glad that you put it on the agenda for today.
Yeah, it was interesting, and I heard your question earlier about how to deal with the rogue element, and I thought that's kind of a multi-layered question, because personally I believe it will always be there, and that small percentage that represents the unknown and uncertainty and fear of random behaviour, that's one thing, but it is a very small percentage, and I think we need to keep that in perspective and make sure that we don't buy into that peddling of fear that tends to go on, particularly in tabloid media. That's their job, to sensationalise things. But one of my big catch calls is we must refuse to be frightened. You know, we don't need to live in fear. second to that, I suppose, is how to help people with severe mental illness. And this is somebody who did have form, and I wasn't aware of that until someone on my Facebook page pointed out that, he has actually done things before he's been in the papers.
Yes, even though I think that's not allowed to cloud the current court case.
No,
and he's
no.
still presumed innocent.
Indeed, and I think it was in the context of neighbours commenting that he was had an odd vibe, and I'm thinking, he can't report somebody for having an odd vibe. We'd all be in trouble if
that's right.
we were reported.
Some
for
of
that.
My neighbours.
Yeah. Well, any of us on a bad day, really.
Yeah.
But I think the whole question of helping people with mental illness is a different one, and probably better answered by a professional than me. Perhaps you could have Phil Dunn from Pathways on the show. He's a very well-respected local professional, and he would probably be able to explain the situation around schizophrenia and those sorts of illnesses and how they're treated. But on to Marcia and the response to, what is a really horrifying tragedy, and it is terrifying for all of us to imagine and to read about. But the statement from the police is what seems to have created the outrage and that idea of victim blaming, and I wanted to explore that a little bit. Of course, I completely reject any suggestion that Marcia or any other victim of violence is responsible for causing that. But I actually don't think that that's what the policeman was saying. I was really interested to read a contact of mine posted on my Facebook page, and she was former communications manager at Victoria Police. And she said, look, the police needed to warn women to stay away from parks while the person was still on the run. Until he'd been arrested and then there's a known killer on the run, then the precautions have to be taken. And that's, I think, the context of the statement being made by the police. And then I looked at the list of safety tips that happened to be posted. And I don't even know whether it was Victoria Police or which organisation had posted them. But again, in the context of being a response to Marsha's murder, that's a fairly appalling list of do's and don'ts. But separate to that as a list of sensible actions to take, it was actually quite common sense. And it's the balance, isn't it, about, we can't assume that there are thousands of baddies out there because that would be ridiculous and we'd just be living in fear. But there's also, we do have a responsibility to look after ourselves and be sensible.
The first thing I have to say, because I've done criminology, and the first thing I think to say is that I believe men are still more likely to be sort of attacked by other men, not by women. Mm. And second of all, you're more likely to be attacked by someone you know in your own home than out there as a random attack.
Yep, that's right.
So those stats really put things into context. But, where do you draw the line between giving out practical advice to stay secure and victim blaming? It's such a tough thing, isn't it?
It is, and I think it is all about timing and context and making sure the whole message gets out. And I was fairly conscious that I don't think the comments from the police person had been said, or they hadn't included the fact that while this person is still remains at large, women need to do this, men and children need to also do that. I think that was the piece that was missing.
But there was also an open letter, I think, from someone who I think was a father. I'm not sure what his actual qualifications were. It might have been in the Sydney Morning Herald, essentially saying that people should look up from their phones and be more alert of what's going on around them. And I saw the feminist websites really took a bit of a beating to him. They said it was well-intentioned, but they thought it was patronising.
Yeah, it is very difficult not to sound patronising and not to be patronising, and I think everybody needs to respect other people's viewpoints.
But to a degree, I think this is similar to domestic violence and what we were talking about with sort of educating people to know when they're in a situation they have to get out of. But also, how do you really educate the people that are the proponents? Some of them you can, but there's also that rogue element out there, isn't there?
Yes, and again, it's probably not a very big rogue element. And I, what I'm always impressed by, and again, with this response to this recent attack, the number of men that are outraged. It is predominantly men. It's fathers and it's husbands and brothers that are actually coming out and making the statements, and men do need to own it. You're quite right. The balance is incredibly swayed towards male perpetrators, although I did notice in the Geelong Advertiser on the weekend they had a page and it would seem that women are the perpetrators of all violent acts. I think there were three or four articles on one page where the women were the perpetrators. I thought that's really not a true picture.
Well, I think it's very important to be well read. So there's nothing wrong with reading the tabloid papers. I don't mind the Murdoch Press. I know certain other people that sit in this time slot at other days of the week have problems with the Murdoch Press. I don't necessarily have a problem with it, but you have to be well read.
That's right, broadly read.
Yes.
Indeed.
Now, the Prime Minister and the Onion.
that was just funny. And I thought, I read, speaking of broadly read, I did read Annabel Crabb's piece in the Sunday Age yesterday, and I just, and Ross Mueller's piece last week was similarly funny, because I didn't see it at the time, but I did look at footage last night, and I just think, honestly, in the context of the New South Wales election coming up, all it needs, doesn't it, is just one more thing like that
onion
to tip the balance. It is just bizarre. And I thought it was particularly, because Annabel Crabb, I do have a great deal of respect for. She's a fabulous writer. And one of the paragraphs I just thought was hugely amusing was, on Monday when Abbott confirmed in Question Time that the government would in fact give quite a few inches and indeed would sacrifice all its planned budgetary savings on university spending, my brain understood that this was a significant development, but the little voice would not let things rest. It had the skin on. The skin. And that was the piece that everybody was focusing on. It's like biting an onion's one thing, with the skin on. Mm. Yeah, that
like was an apple.
Just too amusing. Yeah, well, totally not like an apple.
Yes. And it's tough, and we try and look at the policy elements, and I think they've probably got bigger problems in line with policy just because the Senate is still hostile. They're changing things, they're chopping and changing, which is exactly what frustrated me about the previous government. So, yeah, it's a bit chaotic in Canberra at the moment.
It is, and, you know, whether the Senate's hostile or whether the Senate needs to be well managed, and, you know, maybe that's a little bit of karma once again. I think Julia Gillard did a fair effort managing that in her time.
But I also see that the House of Representatives is today having a condolence speeches and tributes for Malcolm Fraser, which is appropriate, but David Lionhelm, one of the crossbench senators in the Senate, has come out just today saying that he doesn't think that would be particularly helpful, and he thinks that the public would expect Parliament just to be getting on with business. So, different perspective, but he's been criticised a bit for that in the SMH today.
Well, that's interesting. I think, you know, you can always take time, can't you, to respect somebody.
Well, yes, he was a former Prime Minister as well.
I was fascinated to read the different headlines applied to him, you know. A Democrat who liked good advice, a ruthless operator with a bleeding heart. They're really quite interesting headlines to describe someone who was essentially, I think, very human.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, he did have, as we keep saying, principles. And just in that interview that we played before 10 o'clock there, he was willing to bag both parties because they didn't have the principles, according to him.
Yeah, that's right. And integrity is something that seemed to come out quite a lot, that integrity and politics piece.
That's right. And I think what he's been saying about other times is pretty right as well, about politicians that are professional politicians versus the politicians that get there as a career.
Yeah, absolutely. That's one of my big bugbears. Go the independents.
Yes, that's right. Well, thank you so much for joining me this week. I really appreciate it.
My pleasure, Mitchell.
And we will speak to you next Monday. We'll have a result from the New South Wales election.
Oh, yeah, that'd be great.
Get excited. Stephanie Asher there, thank you very much. We'll go to a break. Coming up, we're going to be joined by Carolyn Barry, who is the online editor of the Australian National Geographic, about this feral cats issue, 19 after 10.
Mitchell's Front Page with Mitchell Dye. Mondays and Tuesdays from 9 till 11 on 94.7 The Pulse.